Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. A Gallup poll recently ranked nursing the most trusted profession for the 16th consecutive year. Yet there are not enough nurses to go around. Here we are right in the middle of National Nurses Week, and at least one local group felt that this would be the time to shine a light on the shortage of nurses in our area. The Suncoast Nursing Action Coalition held an event just hours ago in Sarasota at which they discussed measures to combat a serious shortage of nurses, which is impacting hospitals and nursing schools here and across the nation. We're joined now by the coalition's founder, Jan Mock. Hi, Jan. Thanks for talking with us today.
Well, thank you very much, and what a pleasure to be with you today.
It's great to have you, and I'm excited to hear about some of the strategies that you have for trying to overcome this shortage. But first, let me give a shout-out to all of our listeners. If you're a nurse here in Southwest Florida, or if you're studying to be, give us a call. Has this shortage impacted you? We'd like to hear from you. 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag of GCL. So first, Jan, tell me a little bit about Suncoast Nursing Action Coalition. What is this group, and why is it necessary?
Well, first of all, the Suncoast Nursing Action Coalition was founded several years ago in an effort throughout the nation of really addressing the issues of the future of nursing. Robert Wood Johnson Foundation and the Institute of Medicine formed together to address the requirements it would take to make nursing the best that it could be. And they had a task force that was oriented to a blueprint to make the future of nursing advancing health. So the Florida Action Coalition, each state of all the states in the United States, formed an action coalition, and we in Florida did. And I was on the education action team from the Florida Action Coalition. And from that, I designed a triad model, which was a pilot to be started in this region to address the issues of the shortage of nursing, the higher education of nursing, but to be BSNs and higher, and so that we could address it within the region. And our pilot became the wave of the whole state of Florida, which many of our initiatives are being addressed throughout the state of Florida.
So you kind of quickly found that nursing shortages was going to end up being the focus for the solving the issues facing the future of nursing.
Right, as well as making sure that our nursing workforce is got the highest level of education they can to have the best outcomes.
So your event this morning talked about the organization's 2018 report that's detailing challenges that are unique to Florida in the Suncoast region. What did that study show today?
Basically, what we've shown is several things. Obviously, the nursing shortage throughout the nation is there. But, you know, there are over 3 million nurses now, and they predict that there will be 1 million vacancies in 2024. That's twice as bad as the worst nursing shortage we've ever experienced in, of course, my lifetime. And there's also a need for faculty to teach and train these bachelor's-prepared nurses. There's a 7% vacancy, and there's actually a 1,565 faculty shortage to be able to train nurses. Now, one thing we know is there's plenty of people who want to be nurses, but the capacity within the state of Florida for training these nurses is a major problem. So as we researched and we looked at what were the major gaps in capacity to train nurses to enable us to have enough nurses now and into the future, and we partnered with our academic partners, and we announced today the great news that we are bringing 4 BSN 4-year programs to this area, which we've never had before. Those are Kaiser University, State College of Florida, USF, University of South Florida, Sarasota Manatee, and Florida Southwestern State College. And all of them have developed with the support of SNAC and stepped up to the plate, and they will be offering in the very near future, within the next year, 4 programs that can offer the BSN education and training for nurses in this area, and we are so excited about that. This is a big accomplishment from all the stakeholders to really set this region into being able to address the nursing shortage.
So that's going to be a four-year program that's going to be offered at four different schools in this local area. Are you hoping to attract local people to get into these programs, or are you hoping to get people from out of state maybe to relocate and then decide to stay?
Well, our basic initiative is to take people within this area to either increase, if they're already nurses, to increase their education level, or those who are possible students in this area to go into nursing, and that's our primary focus. But absolutely, you know, if people are moving to Florida, we want to promote it there. So this will meet the needs of both of those issues. And we think that this is probably the best long-term solution for the nursing shortage that we could ask for. And we've also provided scholarships to help in promoting students of getting their BSN to both nurses who are going on to get their BSN or new nurses to get into nursing and get their BSN. So we've offered 52 scholarships for student recipients who work, live, and will be trained in this region and who have every intent of staying in this region to be a nurse. We've also offered 6 recipients for doctoral scholarships, because as we know, when we create a new program, you have to have doctoral prepared faculty to train the BSN nurses. And so the deans and directors of our local nursing programs have selected those who need to go back and get their doctorate to teach in these programs, and we've offered 6 of those. So together with the BSN nurses, 52, and the 6 recipients for the doctorate, we have offered 58 scholarships, or $214,000 to this program, so that we can help meet that biggest gap of financial assistance in getting people into these programs.
And this was all announced today?
Yes.
Who was there for that announcement, and how did they receive that news?
Oh, very good. Well, we had all of the programs, and they outlined what their program would be entailed. And actually, a lot of the programs have a different twist to them, which is great, because you need all kinds of different programs to meet the needs of the community and the students. So we had Kaiser, we had State College, we had University of South Florida, Sarasota, Manatee, and Tampa programs, and then Kate Garber, our nurse education navigator, was there and presented Florida Southwest State College program. So together, they were all there with the deans of the program and the presidents, as well as there were 3 students there who have received the scholarships, and we had the donors who've helped us fund our efforts. They were all there, represented, most of them, or we recognized them. And then the media was there. And so it was a very passionate, energetic group of very excited people in what SNAC is doing to address the care of our community and the nursing shortage within our community.
You know, I find it kind of interesting. You know, I got the same news release, and I was looking at it going, oh, okay, well, we're going to hear the sad news that we don't have enough nurses. And it's interesting that in this instance, there's some good news accompanying it, and that there's work being done to correct that situation. What do you think made that happen? I mean, is there a certain level of awareness that you think has come about, or is it kind of a grassroots thing by the work of the coalition and all of its partners that are involved? Because you hear about these things, there's a nursing shortage, and we wonder why, and kind of bellyache and wring our hands over it, but actually having something happen, how did that come to be?
Well, as I mentioned, the national emphasis from the Robert Wood Johnson and the Institute of Medicine formulated the framework and the guidelines for addressing these issues, and the Florida State Action Coalition started the groundwork And I was a part of that from the very beginning and was on the Education Action Team. And so I developed a pilot that we would start in this county. And it dealt with actually three arms. I knew that the academic partners had to be a part of this group, the healthcare employers had to be a part of this group, and obviously the community for awareness and support and passion for their health and care in this area. And that all surrounds the patient and the nurse giving that care. So we had tremendous support from those three entities, and we early on got donors and foundations to help support us. The Patterson Foundation was our first partner who really helped us design how to do this work. We weren't experts in how to putting a group like this together and getting this community support. So they were really our guide in how to develop a team like this and get the work going. And then we used, next we had the Community Foundation of Sarasota come in, and they were really our financial arm. We couldn't apply for grants or have donors or anything because we're not an entity. So they became in the background our financial entity, along with the fact that they supported our mission and it tied in with many of their efforts. And from those two, we were able to do the work that we need to do from the regional triad model. And so, since then, we've gotten other funders who supported it and have given us funding to help with the scholarships and to help with the funding of our nurse education navigator. So it's been a community event, but it really took a lot of work. It took a lot of groundwork, and all of the partners were on board, and even though they were maybe competitors, they all knew that this was a very important mission, and we were able to achieve all of these great things, really exceeded as the founder of my expectations. So, and Charles Bauman is also the community member that worked with me to set up this Nursing Action Corps. Uh-huh.
Okay, so I wanted to ask, what got us in the situation in the first place that we had such a nursing shortage? Has there been a cause of this that was pinpointed?
Oh, yeah. If you look at the press release, you will see that as the nation retires, population continues to swell, and medical technology and therapies are becoming more complex. So the demand on highly trained nurses is really a critical tipping point. We also have nurses that are retiring. Basically, the statistics show that we have 3,000 nurses, but in 2024, there will be 1 million vacancies of the nurses needed. And so that's another piece. Plus, more people are getting health care, and the baby boomers are starting to need more health care. And as Florida grows, there's more people coming to Florida. So you can see kind of a perfect storm for the need for more nurses because of the increased care that's going to be needed.
So you've been at Sarasota Memorial Hospital for 40 years?
For how many?
40?
41 years, yes.
41,
I'm retired now.
Well, congratulations, but I'm sure that
you have
faced some of the effects of that shortage. What kind of toll does it take on a nurse that's in the job when there is a shortage? Does it come down to longer hours or just more stress?
Well, I would say a combination. You know, it kind of depends, but you have to be creative in pulling in all the nurses from wherever you can, particularly in Florida where you have a seasonal need. You know, in the summer, people go up north, and in the winter, there's more people here, so you have a real fluctuation of staffing needs, and you have to be very creative in meeting those needs as far as the number of core nurses you need, but then you have to supplement during those high peak areas in Florida to make sure that you have enough nurses.
All right. Well, that's about all the time we have for this part of the show, but I want to thank my guest, Suncoast Nursing Action Coalition founder Jan Mock. Thank you so much for talking with us today, and congratulations.
Thank you very much. And happy Nurses Week to all our nurses.
That's right. Well, we're going to take a quick break, but when we return, we're talking to Immokalee Technical College's Health Sciences Coordinator about their efforts to prepare students entering the nursing field. This is Gulf Coast Live on WGCU. Stay with us. Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. If you're just joining the show, we've been talking about the national nursing shortage and its effects here in Southwest Florida. We're turning now to the topic of nurses of tomorrow. We're joined by Immokalee Technical College's Health Science Coordinator, Cynthia Hansis. Hi, Cynthia. Thank you so much for talking with us today.
Hi, Julie. Thank you so much. It's nice to be here.
If you're a nurse here in Southwest Florida, give us a call because we'd like to hear about your experiences at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. And on Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. Also on Twitter, we're at WGCU using the hashtag of GCO. You know, earlier in the show, we talked about talked with the Suncoast Nursing Action Coalition about their efforts to encourage local nurses to get their BSN. But I want to backtrack a little bit. What comes before getting a BSN?
Well, the main difference between the BSN and what we do out here, it's all in the education level. We start at the basics, if you will, if you think of it kind of as a ladder. We train CNAs, also patient care technicians, and licensed practical nursing. So if you think of the CNA as the first step on the ladder, that's, you know, for the students that is not quite sure if healthcare and nursing is what they want to do, they can kind of get their feet wet, and then we can progress from there. The patient care technician does a little bit more. It's a little more involved. And then we move on to our practical nursing program. And those are the nurses that are kind of the boots on the ground. They do a lot of the patient care in different care settings from hospitals, and their main focus ends up with the long-term care and rehab facilities in the area.
Mm-hmm. So it's almost like an alphabet soup. You got the CNA, the LPN, the RN, and who gets the BSN out of those? So the CNA is Certified Nursing Assistant?
Correct.
And then LPN is what?
Is a licensed practical nurse.
Okay, and then the RN is the one that has the BSN, the Bachelor of Science in Nursing.
We would have an associate's degree RN, and then the BSN is the four-year prepared nurse.
All right. Okay, so now I understand. So what certifications are students in ITEC's nursing program going for?
They are going for, like I mentioned, their Certified Nursing Assistant. That is a license that is achieved through the Florida Board of Nursing. The Patient Care Technician, which is an advanced CNA. The regular CNA class would be the students would sit for about 165-hour program, and the practical Patient Care Tech is a 600-hour program. They learn phlebotomy. They are doing electrocardiograms, just more advanced care. And the licensed practical nurses are here for, it's about a three-semester program. It's 1,350 hours. And then they sit for the NCLEX PN at the end of their training, which is gone through with their license through the State Board of Nursing.
So we're looking at two or three-semester programs?
For the nursing, correct.
All right. How many students are you typically seeing in these programs? Or do they get filled up?
We can seat up to 24 over the past couple of years. We are seating anywhere between 15 and 20 student nurses in our programs.
Mm-hmm. How much has that changed since you went from Immokalee Technical Center to college?
We have seen pretty much our numbers and our enrollment stay about the same, if maybe a few bumps up higher. I think people kind of tend to associate vocational institutions as not real college, and it is. It definitely is. Our students receive excellent training. They go through rigorous scholastic work as well as clinicals, so it definitely, I think, makes a difference.
Mm-hmm. Do many of your students end up going on to shoot for that BSN?
Absolutely. It's one thing we do encourage from the minute they set foot on the campus is we wanted them to reach as far as they can go. Now, some students, because LPNs do fill such a vital role in outpatient settings and the long-term care facilities, some of our students hit achieve their LPN licensure and they go on to management positions in these different settings. But we always encourage students to just keep on going for whatever goals they have set in their minds.
Do you feel like maybe doing this type of work, doing this scholastic work ahead of time, might be helpful to someone walking into a BSN program as well, like, kind of like a almost like a prep school?
Absolutely. Our students gain incredible experiences because they're working alongside registered nurses in the majority of our clinical settings. So they receive a lot of encouragement. They graduate. They have we place about 91% of our students are working as soon as they graduate. So it really prepares them as they move forward.
What was that job placement rate?
91%.
That's pretty good. I think that's better than average.
Yes.
When you look at
all
the
things. We work really hard.
We are talking about the nursing shortage this National Nurses Week with Immokalee Technical College's Health Science Coordinator, Cynthia Hantis. You can join the conversation, too, by giving us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU, using the hashtag GCL. So, Cynthia, are most of these graduates staying local?
Being in Immokalee, there are definitely a lot of opportunities for them here. A lot of the students are very close, have very close ties to this community, and there are definitely opportunities, whether with the local health departments or some of the clinics in the area. Some venture out as far as out to LaBelle. Some end up in Lee County in Naples where they've done their clinicals. They've made such wonderful impressions doing their clinicals in these facilities that, I mean, I have directors contacting me, go, when are they graduating and when can I have them? So it's really exciting to see how these students, you know, get on with their careers as soon as they are finished with us.
It's got to be a good feeling, too, coming up to your graduation and knowing that you have a job basically waiting for you and people, you know, kind of chomping at the bit to get you to get in there and start working.
Oh, absolutely.
That's got to be just great on like a personal, emotional level. You know, we've talked before on our show about a lack of specialized practitioners in Immokalee. Do you think that maybe having more nurses in the community could alleviate any of that?
I think it could have definitely a positive impact on it's just having, there's just a matter of getting resources out here. There's definitely the need. I think having more qualified nurses out here will definitely definitely have an impact on that.
All right. We have a call from Alex in Venice who has a question. Alex, what would you like to ask?
Oh, not so much a question, more just a comment. I'm a registered nurse. I work in home health, and I used to work in a hospital. And I heard you guys talking about the BSN degree, and, you know, I understand it's a good thing to go for, but I guess in the hospital I worked in, you know, we were required to have that BSN in a couple of years. And I ended up leaving there partly because of that, just because it wasn't something I felt I really needed. And ultimately, I guess I'm glad I did leave there because I work in home care now, which I enjoy a lot more. But I don't know. I guess I was just commenting on how I guess felt like BSN wasn't quite for me, but I can see where it is for some people.
Well, it's kind of interesting, Alex, what you bring up, and it kind of speaks to what Cynthia was just saying about how there are a lot of students it's kind of like different kinds of jobs. A nurse is not just a nurse. They're all different types of nursing, different levels, different things that people can become interested in. And, Alex, it sounds like you found your niche.
Absolutely.
Well, I'm glad to hear it, and happy Nurses Week.
Thank you. Happy Nurses Week.
Thanks for calling.
Yeah, bye.
So, Cynthia, do you find that a lot of people maybe come in with a preconceived idea of what nursing is and then maybe change that as they start going through some of the coursework and find themselves settling into something that is different from what they initially thought?
It definitely is an eye-opening experience because, you know, I interview students that are, you know, potential students coming into my program, and, you know, one of the questions I always ask them is, why do you want to be a nurse? And it's the answer I'm looking for is it's not about it's a great job. It's, you know, I will have job security. It's about caring for people. It's about that compassion, and that's something that we can't teach you. It's something that, I mean, I truly believe that nursing is definitely a calling, and it's not for everyone. I do love to see students that come in with that enthusiasm, and they have those aha moments, or they have those patient interactions that absolutely change them and reaffirm to them why they're doing what they're doing, and it definitely makes it worthwhile.
And then maybe you also could have some of the students that come in thinking, oh, this is going to be job security, and then they uncover that they have this caring, nurturing part of them that does speak to the nursing profession as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And it's very true. It's just a nurse is not just, you know, a nurse is. It's not. There's so many different areas, and you just, like your caller, you find your niche. And for some it's pediatrics, for some it's those med-surg patients, for some, you know, personally, I'm a trauma junkie. ER is where I absolutely fell in love with. So
that's your thing?
That's my thing.
One of my best friends is a nurse, and she started in the ER, and now she's in pharmaceutical research instead. What you like.
It all depends on what you like. And in the back of my mind, I always knew I wanted to get into nursing education, and this has just been the highlight of my career. It really has.
Has the nursing shortage affected at all how you teach your students? I mean, is there any way to train them for a heavier workload or longer hours?
It's the hardest thing is, I mean, we don't, you know, we don't let them go into this blind. It's, excuse me, it is hard work, and it's ever changing. And, you know, the fact is that nurses are being asked to do more and more with less and less resources. But the main focus that we instill in our students is that you have to be safe and you have to care about what you're doing. It's not a matter of how fast you go. It's how safe you are, and you are that first line protector for that patient. You are your patient's advocate. So we want to produce safe and competent practitioners. So it's a fine balancing act to try and to work efficiently, but also, you know, maintain that human aspect that we're caring for someone's loved one.
Yeah, and oftentimes it ends up the nurse is the one that has the most face time with the patient, and so they have to have that interpersonal gift, you know, to be able to comfort and work with people, but then also have that technical know-how. I'm wondering if technology has impacted things. Has it made things easier, or does it require an additional amount of training that's harder for nurses or potential nurses to get their hands around?
We are evolving. The education system is evolving with the changes in technology. We have it used to be when I was in nursing school, it was textbooks, and, you know, you spent time in a lab and then you were with real patients. Now we have computer-based programming that allows us to create electronic medical records, which all the hospitals and care centers are, you know, now utilizing. It's mandated. We are, like so many nursing schools, challenged for clinical space. So we have added recently close to $100,000 in technology upgrades to our simulation lab. So students can come in, they're working with, you know, simulation dolls and mannequins that respond, that talk, that have increased heart rates that require the students to act on what is going on with that patient and respond accordingly. So the technology is a plus, but we also have to make sure that we're, you know, definitely instilling in students that we're not monitoring machines, we're still taking care of patients.
Yeah, a Gallup poll, as we mentioned before, it named nursing the most honest and ethical profession for the 16th consecutive year. And I'm wondering how much of that has to do with nursing schooling, or does it have to just take an honest person that wants to get into the nursing field in the first place?
Well, like I think I mentioned before, it's definitely a calling, and that's one statistic I look forward to seeing every year. And it's like you said, it's been going on for a number of years. you know, we are with the patients a lot, you know, we're at that bedside a lot more than any other healthcare provider. So you have that opportunity to make that connection with the patient, with their family, and it's just you get that trusting relationship built. And I think, you know, the results of the poll are kind of speak for themselves.
Exactly. Well, that's about all the time we have for our show today, but I do want to thank you. Cynthia Hans is the Health Science Coordinator at Immokalee Technical Center. Thanks so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
I also want to thank the founder of the Suncoast Nursing Action Coalition, Jan Mock, who joined us earlier. Our show today was produced by Mike Kinnear and Rachel Iacovone. Our director is Richard Chinqui, and our social media coordinator is Tara Callaghan. Gulf Coast Live is made possible through the generous support of the Elizabeth B. McGraw Foundation. For now, thanks for listening. I'm Julie Glenn. This is WGCU-FM, Fort Myers, 90.1. WMKO, Marco Island, 91.7 FM. NPR for Southwest Florida.